Hello and welcome to episode 128 of the Atlanta Man podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Rogers, and on today's episode, we will be talking about Kirk Cousins joining the Atlanta Falcons on a four-year pact that is worth up to $180 million to be the new quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. Pretty exciting day in the NFL. All the free agent deals are flying around, some trades, and this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, move of the day, probably between this and Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles. But Kirk is a guy that has been rumored to the Falcons over the past few months as a potential option, as he was the best quarterback free agent on the market. And the Falcons get him. 4 years, $180 million. $100 million of that is guaranteed. And with that $100 million guarantee, Kirk Cousins will become the second highest paid player in the history of the NFL, trailing only behind Aaron Rodgers. And if somehow he gets all $180 million of this, he will pass the $400 million mark in career earnings and become the highest paid quarterback in the history of the league, or highest paid player in the history of the league. So, you know, good for Kirk Cousins, one of the richest men in the history of football. Good for his agent, Mike McCartney. So, kind of funny because, you know, Kirk Cousins has been a very good quarterback over the course of his career, but the top four quarterbacks, or players' quarterbacks, in for far salary goes, career salaries, is Kirk, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford's the other one that's up in there. And all those guys have won Super Bowls. Kirk has not done that. Kirk Cousins has one playoff win. So, yeah, this isn't me pooping on Kirk. He is a good player in, you know, the quarterback market. You know, this is the kind of money you're going to get. It's just kind of funny the company keeps, and not a dig at Kirk Cousins at all. Just had to mention that at the top because it is funny. Funny little tidbit, but Kirk gets paid a lot of money to come play for the Falcons, and this is a fascinating move. The Falcons had a few options at quarterback coming into the offseason, Kirk being one of them, trading for Justin Fields, trading up in the draft to get a one of the top guys up there, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Drake May. If they could get all the way to the number one pick, get Caleb Williams, that would be the only way to get him probably. So, yeah, I think Kirk was probably number two on the list of likely moves, I think, behind Justin Fields. It really just seemed like Fields and the Falcons was going to happen, and that is not going to be the case anymore, obviously, bringing in Kirk. But, yeah, it just kind of made a lot of sense for both sides. You know, Fields is from Georgia. All this, everybody knows all this stuff. Went to Georgia for that brief stint before transferring. And he is going to be booted out with the Bears presumably drafting Caleb Williams. And it just never happened. And the Falcons, you know, they signed Kirk today. It was around, I think, 2 o'clock-ish when they did it. And, yeah, it is going to be interesting. Kirk Cousins is 35 years old. I believe he will be 36 by the time the season opens up. Let me check that and be 100% sure. But Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles last season as a 35-year-old. And that is not ideal for any football player, especially a 35-year-old. But, you know, Kirk is not the most mobile guy in the world as far as quarterbacks go. So hopefully he can make a full recovery from that. I think he will be able to. You know, it's not an ideal thing at all. But I think a guy like Kirk, who doesn't rely on his legs all that much, will be able to make a full recovery and still be somewhat the same guy. But, you know, the age thing is real. He will be 36 when the season opens up. But let's just talk about the player now. We can get into the specifics of his injury and his age and stuff. Let's just talk about what he has done to get himself to this point. Kirk Cousins is very, very solid. He's one of the top quarterbacks as far as QBR goes since 2019, I believe. He's up there with Mahomes and Brady and others, other great quarterbacks in the league. He is, you know, pretty accomplished, you know, from his time in Washington all the way through his time in Minnesota. He's just a pretty steady, pretty reliable guy. Never like a upper echelon quarterback. Maybe snuck into the top 10 quarterbacks in the league at times, probably in that 10 to 15 range. But he is definitely a perfectly competent, perfectly solid starting quarterback in the NFL. He is not super sexy. He is not going to win an MVP. He might make a Pro Bowl, and he can have very solid seasons like he has before. I mean, he's put up some really nice years, mostly in Minnesota. You know, 4,000-plus passing yard years, went over 30 touchdowns a few times, good QBR, doesn't turn the ball over a ton. You know, he's just solid. He's solid, reliable, four-time Pro Bowler, won Most Improved Player in 2015, kind of boosted him to get that first contract with the Vikings. But, you know, he's a good quarterback, you know, kind of that middle tier, like I said. And if he can be that guy that he has been with the Vikings the past few years, even back in Washington way back when, this is a huge, huge upgrade on the Falcons quarterback situation. Ritter and Heinicke last year was a complete and utter disaster. They were both pretty bad. Not many high points for either of those guys. And the Falcons still won 7 games and still almost won the NFC South. They had a chance to win the NFC South in the very last week of the season. Obviously, that didn't happen. They got blown out by the Saints, and the Bucs ended up winning it. But the fact that with that quarterback situation, they were able to make it that far, granted the division is terrible, but still, they were close without Kirk, and I think, you know, anything would have been an upgrade. You know, Fields, any quarterback they drafted just had to be an upgrade over Ritter, and Heinicke was maybe the worst quarterback situation in the entire NFL. So adding Kirk, a guy who has a track record of being very solid, veteran guy, you know, it's going to cost you a lot of money, which kind of interferes with your flexibility to make other moves. But I do think this is a necessary move for the team. You know, you either had two options: either, you know, pay real money, real capital, with the salary capping, bring in a guy, or pay draft capital to bring in a guy. Whether that be trading Fields, which probably wouldn't have trading for Fields, which probably wouldn't have cost you a first round pick, but you know, if you want to trade up in the draft, the top five, and get Jaden Daniels, let's say, you're gonna have to trade, you know, some pretty significant draft capital, and the Falcons are able to hold on to all of that, making this deal. So that is a important part of this, that they are going to be able to keep all their picks. You know, with Fields, you would have to trade something. Trading up, you'd have to trade something. And Kirk, you're just paying money, which is a big deal in the NFL with the salary cap, but the Falcons are pretty good in cap space. This will take up a large chunk of it, but they still have a little bit of flexibility to make some moves. And the Falcons really made a lot of moves last offseason. The Jesse Bates move, you know, bolstering up the defensive line. And then, of course, in the drafting, guys like Bijan. So a lot of the core pieces are intact with this team. They just didn't have a quarterback. You know, the team had very solid moments on the defensive side of the ball last year. Obviously, Bijan had great moments. Drake London had great moments. Kyle Pitts, you know, I guess the hype train's back on now that he's got a real quarterback again. He had that one season with Matt Ryan. He had over 1,000 yards. Since then, with Mariota, Ritter, and et cetera, he has been not as effective. I think Kirk will have a nice connection with him. So, yeah, the Falcons, they've just kind of been a quarterback away for the past couple of years. And, you know, they get a guy who you can just slot right in, no problem. And, you know, a guy that's never had problem getting the ball to his stars. You see the numbers him and Justin Jefferson put up. Granted, the Falcons do not have a player as talented as Justin Jefferson on this roster, but Pitts, London, even Bijan as a receiving threat, those guys are definitely skilled and, you know, kind of one of the best young, unproven, but young cores of position player talent in the entire league. And they finally have their leader, so to say, as Kirk is in Atlanta now. And, yeah, it is a pretty fascinating move. He's going to be making a lot of money up front, a front-loaded contract. I think with the $50 million signing bonus he gets, he will be making $90 million in his first season with the Falcons. And, you know, functionally, this is just a 2-year contract with it being front-loaded like it is. They don't have the exact base salary and cap hits out yet. The average annual value is $45 million. But, you know, the first 2 years are going to be a lot of the money. And the second, the 2 second to last years will be, you know, easy to cut, really, is what it is. He will be 38 and 39 in the last 4 years of his contract, or the last 2 years, I should say, 36 and 37 in the first 2 years. And you never know. Maybe Kirk comes back from his Achilles, and he is just his old self, and he ages gracefully, into his late 30s, and he plays out the entire course of his contract as a perfectly solid quarterback. You know, I think that's best case scenario for the Falcons. I think the median outcome is he's the quarterback for the next 2 years. He's perfectly fine, probably shows a few signs of a fall off, and you kind of reevaluate after the first 2 years, maybe cut, maybe, you know, just kind of roll with him, bring in like a young guy as competition. But, you know, those are the two like more positive things. I think the median outcome here is a positive contract for the Falcons. You know, there is the worst case scenario where this is like Russell Wilson and he is just horrible. I guess it can't be as bad as the Russell Wilson deal because the Broncos did trade first round picks for him on top of giving him that contract. This, like I said, there was no draft capital involved whatsoever doing this, which is why it might have been a little more appealing to the Falcons than the alternative moves. But it is a you know, Kurt could be just bad these next 2 years, and you know, something just doesn't translate with him coming to Atlanta. He just gets older and kind of falls off. All of those things are possible, and you know, this could look pretty rough. But it is a shorter term deal. And, you know, it definitely would set the Falcons back, but this isn't like a, you know, like this is the situation the Broncos are in now where they're paying all the money for Russell Wilson to go play for the Steelers and they're down draft picks and they're just kind of a disaster. You know, the Falcons aren't putting themselves in that kind of situation by doing this. There is some risk, you know, you're kind of mortgaging the next 2 years with Kirk and you're kind of putting all your eggs in the Kirk basket, because he has to be good for this contract to be worth it. But you know, if he's bad, then it's nothing we haven't been used to. The Falcons would just be bad still, and that would suck. But you know, this is definitely an understandable move. I'm not absolutely over the moon about it. You know, I think between this and the Fields deal, it's probably like a similar feeling. You know, it's tough. Quarterback is tough, man. It is the most important position in all sports, and you know, the Falcons, you know, we were blessed as Falcons fans for years with Matt Ryan, and they just haven't been able to find that since. And I think it kind of puts into perspective, you know, how good Matt Ryan was and how we really should appreciate him, because it is just not easy to find a guy. And, you know, we'll see how this works out. Is it going to end in a Super Bowl? Probably not, but you never know. Maybe the rest of this Falcons team really flourishes around Kirk. You know, defense improves. London, Pitts, and Bijan take a step forward, this is a team's a contender. I think that is you know, a super high-end outcome, but it is definitely in the realm of possibility. But on the other side, this could be like a bad deep contract, and the Falcons could just be a 7-10 team again. And I think in the middle somewhere is them probably being maybe a little bit over 500 in the NFC South as one of the front runners, and you know, fighting for a playoff spot to get into the dance. So it is a, you know, it's slightly exciting, slightly scary at the same time, but on the whole, I get it. He is a proven commodity, and I'm not going to slam Fontenot and company in the front office for this one at all. I think it's perfectly reasonable move, and you know, it's a lot of money, but it's quarterback in today's NFL, and Kirk is a, you know, Pro Bowl. I know Pro Bowl is a very subjective term, because, you know, guys, injury replacements and guys just don't want to show up and people become Pro Bowlers. But Kirk Cousins, like, is truly, like, you know, he has definitely been, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in the NFC in his tenure with the Vikings. Like, he definitely had those high outcome years. You know, in 2020, he threw 35 touchdowns, 33 in 2021. You know, he had the great year in 2022 when the Vikings went 13-4. Yeah, it is a very, very interesting player, and we'll see how he recovers from the Achilles. I wanted to see when did he tear his Achilles? This is not something I've looked up yet. I just want to see the exact date in which this happened. So 2023 game logs. He tore his Achilles on October 29th. So, Achilles take around 9 months, I would say. So that would have him being, you know, ready by late July. So that's like training camp time-ish. It looks like Kirk will be ready for the start of the season. I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. But, yeah, didn't play last half of the season. We'll see how that time off affects him. You know, we're really not going to know much more about the Achilles probably until we get around training camp. That's months away. So we kind of have to speculate now of what he's like. I'm assuming the Falcons did their due diligence and making sure his Achilles was healing properly, which all indications are that it is. So, you know, it is a slight worry, but this isn't, you know, this isn't a wide receiver or running back tearing his Achilles or a cornerback or something like that. Kirk Cousins is not, he's not Lamar Jackson. We'll just say that. So, nothing, I'm not like over here going to be losing sleep and I think about this Achilles injury with him, but you know, he is old. He is older. 36 years old is, you know, not ancient, but definitely not a young man anymore. So yeah, like I said, kind of an exciting day for Falcons fans. Kind of terrifying at the same time. We'll see how it goes. I will say this, it is just a huge upgrade. Is really my overall thoughts. You know, really anything would have been an upgrade over Ritter and Heinicke, and I think Kirk is miles ahead of both of those guys. And you know, if Kirk was the quarterback all season for the Falcons last year, I think they would have won the NFC South. I'll put it like that. So it is a positive in my book. I gave it the stamp of approval. It isn't the sexiest move. It isn't a move that's going to, you know, this isn't you drafting your franchise quarterback that's 21 years old and is going to carry your franchise for the next decade plus. This is a short-term win-now move in every sense of the word. And best case scenario is this guy is probably your quarterback for only 4 years. So that is, this is not a, you know, he's not going to be a cornerstone franchise guy for the next decade. We'll just say that. So, yeah, next for the Falcons, draft coming up in April. Be interesting what they do with the 8 pick. Now that we have a quarterback, you don't have to trade any picks. So all options are available with the draft, what they're going to do there. They need another wide receiver. Right now, their wide receiver 2 is Van Jefferson. That's not great. So I think you do need to add a guy to be a wide receiver 2. I know you have Pitts who kind of functions as a wide receiver, but you still need a little more depth as in the pass catching department. So we'll see what they do in the draft with that. Hopefully that's like a second round pick. I don't think taking Malik Nabers at 8, like they don't need, like they just need to stop taking position players, or not position players, skill position players is what I meant, in the top 10, because they've done that for few years in a row now. So I think they might need to add to the defensive side of the ball, maybe offensive line, something like that, to improve other aspects of this team. And you know, maybe, and you know, this is a stacked wide receiver class in free agency too, and you got guys like T. Higgins who are requesting trades, so there are some options that are outside of the draft for wide receiver also. So we'll see how that turns out. This is the first day of you know, the NFL league year, so moves will be to come. The draft is in around a month. We will see what happens with the Falcons. I guess let me clean up the Hawks. I haven't recorded a podcast in a long time. A lot of stuff has happened. The Hawks, Trae Young is hurt. He tore a ligament in his finger. He is out for the foreseeable future. This happened a couple weeks ago, so he is you know, probably going to miss another 2 to 3 weeks at minimum, maybe even the rest of the season, depending on how things look. Today, it was announced that Sadiq Bey tore his ACL. He is out. Kobe Bufkin is hurt. Jalen Johnson is hurt. Onyeka Okongwu is hurt. Pretty much anybody you would have any inkling of an interest of watching on this Hawks team is currently injured. So, yeah, man. They are a mess. They're 29-35. They are pretty firmly the 10 seed. In the East right now, they have a 3.5 game lead on the Nets. So I think they're going to be in the play-in, but this has just been a disaster of a season. And it's hard to care. It really is hard to care, you know, especially without, you know, with Trey getting hurt. You know, obviously he is the best player on the team, but the silver lining to that was Kobe Bufkin was going to get to play, and then he got hurt. And then Okongwu was playing well, and he got hurt. And Jalen Johnson's banged up. So it's just, it's tough to be a Hawks fan right now. And that's all the attention I'm going to give them. Then the Braves, a little over 2 weeks away from opening day. Nothing really has happened with them. The Ronald Acuna stuff happened. He had an MRI on his knee, his meniscus, his right knee, the same one that he tore his ACL in. he went all the way to LA. The same doctor that performed his ACL surgery gave him a look, and it's just soreness. He's going to be fine. He's going to be ready for opening day. That was a huge bullet that the Braves dodged. And the Braves, really, this spring training, no one, they have, and knock on wood, no one has gotten hurt. They have been pretty much injury-free outside this little Acuna hiccup, which really isn't even a big thing. They have been exceptionally healthy, knock on wood again. But, you know, some teams deal with some brutal injuries in spring training, and it just hasn't happened this year for the Braves, and I'm grateful for that. And they're almost done with it without any injuries, and that's awesome. So this team can be 100% healthy going into opening day. That'd be great, because that wasn't the case last year. Kyle Wright was hurt. Raisel Iglesias was hurt. You know, injuries left and right. Max Fried got hurt on opening day. So, you know, them staying healthy is obviously important. So I am looking forward to the Braves season, obviously. They are a super exciting team. Way more exciting than these freaking Hawks, man. So, I'll be back sooner than I was this time around. Took a little bit of a break with, football ending and MLB offseason being slow as all hell, and the Hawks just being the worst team ever. So, I'll probably try to get around to recording more as things really heat up in Atlanta with the Falcons and the Braves. So, if you made it this far listening, I really, really appreciate it, and I will see you in the next one.